The car, Lady Maud.
Good heavens, Jenkins, where the devil have you been? I ordered the car for 3 o'clock.
Oh, I couldn't help it, madam, really. You've never seen such a traffic jam.
But you only had to come from Shepherd's Bush. Which way did you come?
Well, madam, I came in by Bayswater and took that road down the side of Hyde Park. That's where the trouble was.
What do you mean, trouble?
Well, madam, I never believed them when they told me the cause of the hold-up until I saw it with my own eyes.
Saw what, Jenkins?
Water spouting out of the ground right outside the Dorchester Hotel.
That was an excerpt from Spring in Park Lane. Now that in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Quintet to Hot Club, the Basingstoke, Jaime Carfax, Miss Priscilla Pork.
She's a nice bit of crackling.
To continue, Fernando de Miguel Larkin, Marigold Pug, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horn, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horn.
Good evening and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that leaves off where the others start. However, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. Monday, I went, as usual, for my dancing lessons to the Miss Marjorie Hockflitch Academy for Young Ladies. Of course, you might say to yourself, now that's strictly for young ladies. Then so am I. Nevertheless, I had a very satisfactory lesson in a new dance which is being taught called the Montgomery Mambo. It's quite easy. You take one step forward, open your mouth, and put your foot in it. On Thursday evening, I attended one of the Chopin recitals at the Ridgeway Hall, which incidentally end on the 25th of December. So lovers of this composer might like to note, there are still 47 Chopin days till Christmas. Now then, where was I? Oh, I like that rather. Yes, Friday. Well, Friday was a beautiful day, so I decided to spend a quiet afternoon in that restful, almost rural region of London, Hyde Park. Ah, now, this seems to be a good place. I'll just, sit down on this grassy mound, I think. Oh, what a lovely spot this is. I'll just settle down here for 40 winks.
And I tell you, my brothers! When we get into power, you two will enjoy your oddities in dew and lace pins. Oh, yes, you will. You two will enjoy eating at the flesh pots of the most expensive notch bars in the country. Yes, my brothers, you two will enjoy being rich.
I don't want to be rich.
Take it from me, brother. When we're in power, you will enjoy being rich whether you like it or not. My friends, we do not seek self-aggrandishment. Neither will we be a party to subjective introspection or coaxial establishmentarianism.
Why don't you talk English?
Brother, I don't know where you was educated, but I'm using words which are well within the mental encroachment of the common man. Now let me address myself to any average, ordinary, common working man in the street. Now you, sir. You over there, sir. You with a carnation and yourself a row buttonhole.
Oh, you mean me?
Yes, you. Have you been listening to what I was saying?
Well, yes, I'm afraid I couldn't help overhearing.
Then, sir, permit me to ask you a simple question. Did you fully comprehend the terms and the phraseology what I've just employed?
Well, frankly, no.
Who's asking you?
Oh.
Troublemaker, let me tell you something. When we're in power, you'll be the first to go.
Don't worry, I'm going now.
Oh, dear, no peace here. I'll go right up to the Hyde Park corner end. Well, now, perhaps I'll have more luck on this deck chair here.
Oh, no.
Excuse me, sir. I'm one of the foremen on this new Hyde Park roadway construction. Now, would you mind moving your deck chair a wee bit? I've got two bulldozers coming in here to dig.
Well, in that case, I'd better move right out of the way.
Oh, no, you're all right there, but don't lean too far to the left.
Well, I say, I'd no idea the new flyover was coming this far into the park.
Oh, no, it isn't, sir. It's what you might call a private matter.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you see, sir, I dropped sixpence here yesterday, and I'm not moving till I find it. Charlie, lift hands down and keep your eyes skinned for that tanner.
This is no use. Now, where can I go that will be quiet and peaceful and where there won't be any work going on? I know, the BBC.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Orme.
Morning, Commissioner. Is the conference room vacant?
No, sir. They're having a meeting in there.
Oh, what are they discussing today?
The usual, sir. They're trying to decide what to use the conference room for.
Oh. Well, how about there? Is that the band room?
Oh, yes. It's been banned ever since they caught Jakes Brown in there with Agatha Windshuffle.
Oh, well, never mind. I'll try the rehearsal room. Good gracious. Paul Fennelly and the orchestra all doing a jigsaw puzzle. Hello, Paul. How's it going?
Oh, pretty well, Ken, but we seem to be missing the most interesting piece.
Oh, no, you're not. She's standing right behind you. Janet Waters! Janet. Paul,
good morning. Here. Everyone, out. Down the corridor. First door on the left.
Why, it's Mr. Fussing of the BBC. Now, what's the idea of sending everybody into the conference room? I thought you were holding a meeting.
Yes, the meeting's over. Last we decided what we're going to do with the conference room.
Oh, what?
We're turning into a rehearsal room. Everyone out, please.
Now, just a minute. If this is no longer the rehearsal room, what are you going to use this for?
Well, I don't know yet, but we're having a conference here tomorrow to decide.
Honestly, you BBC chaps do waste your time. Now, why don't you do something about the program?
What do you mean our programs are all right? They have been for years.
That's just the trouble. Nothing's been altered. There's not enough novelty in the BBC.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen John Snow's new button with a squirt everyone with water? What about that chap who walks around the building wearing a Gilbert Arden set? You know, the funny nose, the spectacles and moustache.
But surely that is Gilbert Harding.
Oh. No wonder he disguises himself.
Well, anyhow, I didn't mean that sort of novelty. I meant a new approach to program thinking. For instance, take a program parade. At the moment, it's just a flat statement of what's on when.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Ooh?
Well, why not adopt the film technique for presenting forthcoming attractions like this?
Thank you.
enticing. She's alluring. She's irresistible.
The sex kitten will set 1,000 hearts aflame.
Men have been driven insane by one word from this husky-voiced temptress.
Anona Wynn in... in 20 questions tonight at 8:30.
Oh, yes, very interesting, Mr. Holmes. Any more bright ideas?
Well, yes, what about have a go? Now, why does Wilfred Pickles always have to interview the ordinary people? Why doesn't he give the upper set a chance? I mean, just for a change, couldn't have a go come from one of those fashionable playgrounds of the moneyed classes?
How do, Nassau in the Bahamas? How are you?
Yes.
Well, here we are in the Pier Pavilion in the Bahamas, where we're ready for another spot of homely folk. Now, I've got a woman standing beside me now. Could you tell us your name, love?
Lady Elizabeth Buntinghorn.
Oh, what a lovely name. Do you mind if I call you Liz?
Certainly do.
Oh, well, never mind, love. Well, now, would you like to tell us your age?
Oh!
No, perhaps not. Look, love, you're obviously a woman who's seen a bit of life. Oh. I mean, have you ever had any embarrassing experiences, you know, on the hunting field, maybe? Like, well, I mean, have you ever been bitten somewhere funny, like, by a horse?
I'll tell you my most embarrassing experience.
Yes? Yeah?
This is it. Joaquin, bring the car out.
Well, let's give it a big hand for being such a good sport. Well, charming. And now, here's a gentleman standing beside me now who looks as if he might have been a soldier. What's your name, sir?
General Sir Peregrine Kentwell Crichton.
Well, I wasn't far out, was I? Now, what did you get up to in the war?
Well, I was at the War Office.
At the War Office? Oh, yes, the War Office. And that marvelous. Now, I'm the War Office. Lovely. Yes, the War Office. Oh, fancy that. Yes. And what did you do?
Do? Good heavens, man. Same as everybody else at the War Office. Nothing.
Well, I'm sure you did it better than most. Now, this question's worth a pound. A question worth a pound, you see, and it's this. What is it they're always changing at Buckingham Palace?
Nappies?
Ah! Oh, well, that's not the answer, but it's near enough. Forgive me the money, Mabel.
Well, you see what I mean, sir.
Yes, Horn, it's fascinating. But how far do you expect to go with these changes?
Oh, a lot further, sir. For one thing, I'd like to hear a lot more truth in certain BBC programmes. Now, look at those dull routine interviews with famous people. How much more interesting they'd be if the truth really came out like this.
Well, listeners, just arrived in London is America's top entertainer, or so her publicity agent tells us, Miss Connie Carroll.
Thank you. And may I say how happy and thrilled I am to be here. Of course, I can't say I take much to all this fog.
At 5,000 a week, you should worry about the fog.
Really?
Miss Carroll, I take it you flew over.
Yeah, sure, I flew. In a plane, naturally.
Naturally.
Oh, and you know, it's a wonderful thing, this civilization.
How do you know? You just got here.
It's wonderful to think I left New York only 6 hours ago.
Really? It looks as if you've been traveling for days.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tell me, is that a wig you're wearing?
Please! This is my own hair.
Of course, I'm sorry. I should have known. After all, who'd want to buy a wig like that? However, before you go to your humble little 12-roomed suite at the most expensive hotel in London, I suppose you must give us some sickening message for your fans.
Well, oh, thank you. And what better way to greet them than by singing the song that made me famous?
By not singing it.
Oh.
Thank you, and good night.
Charming. Charming.
Well, there you are. Wasn't that something of a revelation?
Yes, it's quite the most revelating thing I've heard in my life. I think you've got something there. The truth will out. Oh, I know one of our most popular programs that could be made quite sensational. I can hear it now.
For the first time, the BBC presents the stark, sordid facts about a woman who is not quite what she seems. Unabridged, unexpurgated, the real Mrs. Dale's Diary.
I've been very worried about Jim lately. I'm afraid he's found out about Henry and Robin and Peter and Edward and Simon and Fred and Roger and Edward and Sean.
Well, so much for that. But here's one BBC institution that's quite all right as it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hornets.
What good's a gal without a guy?
What good's a gal without a guy?
What good's the earth without the sky?
No good without the sky. What good's a moonlit night without someone to hold you tight?
What good's a gal without a guy?
Do, 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 do.
What good's a face without a smile?
Oh, wants to live alone and like it. You need a man around to build up your morale. To light a match, you've gotta strike it. When you're alive and you're young, a fling has gotta be flung.
What good's the Thames without Big Ben? What good's beyond without our camp?
Stop wearing that baby stare. Perfume flowers in your hair. Come and get a twinkle in your eye. What good's a gal without a guy? Who wants to live alone and like it? You need a man around to build up your morale. To light a match, you've gotta strike it. When you're alive and you're young, a fling has gotta be flung. What good's the earth without the sky? What good's the fourth without July? Stop wearing that baby stare, the perfume flowers in your hair. Come and get a twinkle in your eye. What good is a gal without a guy, guy, guy? What good's a gal without a guy?
What good's a gal without a, what good's a gal without a, what good's a gal without a guy?
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on gramophone records. Are disc sales higher than ever?
And if so, are they doing record business? For now. First, let's have a word with the manager of a well-known recording company. Now, tell me, sir, you have the very difficult job of assessing whether a record's going to be a hit or not. Now, how do you do it?
Well, it's quite simple, really. I mean, take our current number, Tell Edie I Fancy Her. Well, now... I can confidently predict that it will be a hit.
Well, but how can you be sure?
A jukebox jury voted it a miss.
Now, here's a charming lady. Madam, do you buy many records?
Oh, yes, rather. LP, VP, 78. All sorts.
Do you listen to them much?
Well, actually, I usually invite all my boyfriends round. And, well, we just listen all night.
And what's your favorite?
Extended play.
And now we're privileged to meet a wonderful old gentleman. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Thank you. I was very glad to come along here tonight. And thank you. Goodbye.
No. Just a minute, sir. I just want a quick word with you, Robert. I understand, sir, that you're a great collector of records.
Ah, yes. I have mold at the cylindrical ones and the cold clockwork, you know.
Yes.
And right back, I've got all of them.
Yes, well, I'm sure you have. Have you got a... How long would you say you've been collecting records?
35 years.
How long, sir?
35 years.
Well, now, have you got a favorite artist of yesteryear?
Oh, yes, yes. I remember old Gussie. And you remember old Gussie?
Yes, indeed, sir.
Any old time, any old time, any old time.
Yes.
It's got quite a
beat to it, hasn't it? Now, apart from that, just for a moment, I believe that, strangely enough, for somebody of your age, you also get a lot of pleasure from the more modern singer.
Oh, that's absolutely true, sir, yes. On a cold winter's night, and it's dark and lonely, there's nothing I like better than to settle down with a good steaming hot cup of cocoa. And Alma Cogan.
Yes, you are. You really enjoy her records, then?
Who said anything about records?
Well, now, records. There's no doubt of the tremendous pleasure that records bring to a wide-listening public, but let us not forget the extensive preparation and hard work that goes into making the discs. Sometimes popular recording stars have to face long, arduous recording sessions.
Hello, Charles.
Hello, Roddy. My word, you look exhausted.
I know, Charles. I'm all in. No wonder. You know, I've had to do my Liz record 9 times today.
Oh, no, mind, Roddy. That's why you're so successful. I mean, you're such a perfectionist.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, honestly, it's true. It's true.
Really?
Yes, it is, really.
What?
I mean, every little detail of your work is important.
Well, yes, I suppose it is worth it. After all, when one's voice is heard in millions of homes, one can't be too meticulous.
Oh, you're so right.
Yes.
Oh, you are, really. I mean, take that last record of yours. It had such warmth and sincerity. I mean, your heart was really in it.
Oh, Charles. You really think that comes to trouble?
Now, honestly, Dora, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in fact, I don't mind admitting, when I listen to your records, I sometimes get a little tear creeps into the corner of my eye.
Oh, no! Oh, wait until you hear the one I've just done.
No, Rodders, can I?
Of course, it'll be a special preview. I'll put the pressing on for you. You'll be the first to hear it. Here goes.
Oh, goody.
One day, little Noddy took his friend with him. In the
so much for the recording stars. However, we must not overlook the technical skill of those who actually make the records. We wanted to find out something about their manufacture, but unfortunately, something happened to our roving reporter, Cecil Smith. So we sent our other commentator, Marvin Spenlove, to a famous record factory.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you from the busy processing room of this vast manufacturing work where, at this very moment, thousands of new gramophone records are on their way to you, the listening public. And I can't help thinking that those who work here turning out these discs with such monotonous regularity must sometimes feel they're in a bit of a groove. How about that, Snape? Well,
uh...
And I'm actually standing by the machine that does the job. Listen to it at work. What you heard is the special plastic material being fed into the machine and pressed down into the well-known shape we all know. It's fascinating to think that every time you hear... another record has been made. Now, listeners, I've been invited to press this next disc myself. I'll just push the lever and... And this is Marvin, hole-in-the-middle Spendlove, returning to the studio.
And we hope he'll be requested on Housewives' Choice. Well, you've heard something of the modern trend in teenage recording idols, so finally let us spare a thought for those who represent the older school. Listen now to a part of the new LP, Songs for Swinging Squares, with a vocal by Ambrose Sinatra and Felicity Fitzgerald.
I like the Gibson girls. What about you?
And I like Ruth Chapter. What about you?
Lolly, lolly, lolly.
I like a horse from Ken with an open view.
I like a supper ball, croquet, and Henry Hall. What about you?
Those D.H. Lawrence books gave me a thrill.
Bill.
No.
I've always liked the looks of Kaiser Bill. Snap antiquity in a handsome cab.
Writing's a life that's drab. It's such fun too. And we'd like it. What about you?
What about you?
What do you mean?
We were talking.
I
we were talking.
You
just right past it. Talking the whole thing.
I was talking. You are a big thing, too.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be travel agencies. Are they a going concern? Also, in next week's program, a well-known florist will be talking about keeping flower shops and telling us if there's any fuchsia in them. And we shall be catering for different musical tastes with a duet by Joan Hammond and Lonnie Donegan, who'll be singing, Oh, My Beloved Father's a Dustman. And we'll be presenting a gold medal to Eric Merriman for that one as well. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. Do busy herbalists ever run short of time? Good night. You have only been listening to what I've just missed. Beyond.